In our text tonight, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19, and we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 29. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage in Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, and in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt, or a little donkey. You'll find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus you shall say unto him. And here's one of these verses that tires my nerves up. Because the Lord hath need of him. I ask something about that verse that tires me up. That the eternal God of heaven that made it all has a need. And I've said this, and I know what preachers mean when they say this, as far as God being sovereign and omnipotent and eternal. He doesn't need any help. He is God all by himself. But if the gospel gets preached, if the world gets won to Jesus, guess who's going to do that? His body, his building, his bride. So therefore tonight the Lord needs you in his army. He needs you in his service. But I got one better than that. He wants you. And I think I got one better than that. He'll take you. And I believe I got one better than that. He'll use you. The Lord hath need of him. In verse 32, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. Watch your Bible now, verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. How about this? With a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the earth. In verse 39, they're at every meeting I go to. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And I love what Jesus says in verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I'll tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I don't want no rock shouting in my place. I don't know what the Lord did for the rock, but I know what he did for me when he got me out of the mire and he put me on the rock. The text before us tonight is the triumphant entry of Christ. Now, this passage has always meant a lot to me, and I'm going to tell you why with a story that I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to dive in and try to preach from it tonight. This passage has always meant the world to me because of this. You don't have to be around me much to know that my dad, who is now in glory, was my hero. I mean, he was my hero. He was my buddy. He was my friend. He was the best man in my wedding. He was my pastor all my life. He taught me how to hunt, taught me how to fish, taught me how to shoot a gun. I asked him one time, I said, Dad, how come you didn't teach us to play golf? He said, we're Christians and we're saved and we have convictions and we don't dabble in the things of this world. He said, son, let me tell you something. He said, fishermen may lie, but golfers cuss. But I loved my dad. My dad grew up in a very hard time. My dad had to quit school to help his mother feed him and his other two brothers while my grandfather was fighting in World War II. Because of that, my dad did not get what we would call a formal education. Well, Dad got drafted into the Army during the Korean campaign, and found himself in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, in the paratroopers. And on daddy's last jump, an unseen storm came up, and my daddy and two other men were the only ones that walked away. Not long after that, my dad and some of his buddies were coming back from the Grand Ole Opry back up to Fort Campbell, and they had a Jeep wreck that night, and my dad was ejected from the vehicle. I mean, the ambulance came, the police came, and they almost left without my dad. And somebody heard a man groaning, and they looked and they saw two boots sticking in the ditch, and they pulled my dad out and saved his life. A surgeon had to take a knife and literally cut every one of my daddy's teeth out of his tongue. That left my dad with somewhat of a speech impediment. A lot of people said they didn't, you know, had a hard time understanding my dad. I wanted to tell you, when he had that belt in his hand, I understood every word that he had to say. And evidently, when my daddy was a little boy, he got called dumb and stupid enough that evidently he believed that. And to make a long story short, my dad grew up with a serious inferiority complex. My daddy was never good enough. He was never educated enough. He was never talented enough. He really felt like he was no good, and God couldn't use anybody like him. Well, in 1957, my dad got saved. Now, when my daddy got saved, he got this kind of salvation. He got going to church salvation. He got quitting drinking salvation. He got living for God salvation. And God saved my dad. Not long after that, God began to call my dad to preach. But my dad, with this inferiority complex, thought he wasn't good enough to serve the Lord. He thought he wasn't smart enough to serve the Lord. Surely God could never use anybody like him. He was not good enough for God or anybody else. And one Saturday night in Danville, Virginia, he walked in the door of a little Baptist church doing a revival. And a man of God was preaching from the very text I'm preaching from tonight. About this little old donkey that lifted up Jesus and carried Jesus into town and lifted up Jesus. And Jesus got all of the glory, and the donkey got none of the glory. And he's preaching from this text. And halfway through that sermon, he looked at the back and pointed to my daddy and said, "Young man, God is calling you to preach, but you don't think you're good enough. You don't think you're educated enough. You don't think God can use somebody like you." Well, young man, based on this text, I want to say this to you. Hey, boy, if a donkey can do it, you can too. Come down here and get saddled up. And that night, my daddy walked the aisle and gave his life to be a preacher of the gospel. And for the next 60 years, he saddled up and lift up Jesus. And Jesus got all the praise, and daddy got none of the praise. And that statement literally changed my daddy's life. And all of my life, I've heard my daddy say, "If a donkey can do it, you can too. If a donkey can do it, you can too." And back last Easter, I was preaching through the life of Christ. And I came to this triumphant entry. I was sitting on a big Delta jet on the tarmac in Atlanta. And man, I was waiting for that plane to take off. And praise God, about that time my plane took off, I got to reading about this donkey. I lifted up Jesus and carried him into town. And I could see that old preaching daddy of mine pointing that finger saying, "Boy, if a donkey can do it, you can too. Come down here and get saddled up." And I just want to say to somebody in this room tonight, you don't think you're good enough for God. You don't think you're educated enough for God. You don't think you are talented enough for God. I've come to tell you, if a donkey can do it, you can too. Come on down here and get saddled up and lift Jesus high and lift Jesus up and take Jesus into town. Take Jesus to somebody that needs to see him, and he gets all the glory and we get none of the glory. By the way, tonight, he deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. He deserves the glory. This thing's not about me tonight. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We're here to magnify Christ and glorify Christ and give him all the glory, for he's the only one tonight that's worthy of our praise. Saddle up, lift him up, because if a donkey can do it, you can too. And let me give you some things about this donkey that God gave me that encourages me. If a donkey can carry Jesus to town, praise God, there's room for me. Number one thing about this tonight, the donkey has to be bought. Before that donkey can ever be used, the donkey has to be bought. Now go home tonight and read Exodus chapter number 34. You'll read something that'll bless you to death. In Exodus 34, did you know when a donkey is born, he is one of the few animals that is born with a curse upon him. From the very day the donkey arrives, he is born with a curse. And the only thing he has to look forward to is for the owner to break his neck and kill him so he can die because of the curse. But here's the kind of God we serve. He is such an awesome God that he's even got a plan for little donkeys to be saved. Did you know the man that has the donkey, if he doesn't break his neck, then he's got to redeem him. The only hope the donkey's got to live, he's got to be redeemed. Now, when I thought I was about to shout, I read the next line. Not just redeemed, but Exodus 34 said, redeemed by a lamb. I mean, the only way that donkey is going to get the curse lifted, the only way that donkey is going to live to be a service, he's got to be redeemed by a lamb. The only way the curse is going to be lifted, he's got to be redeemed by a lamb. You say, what has that got to do with us? Man, I'm glad you asked, because every one of us in this room tonight, we were born sinners. We're sinners by birth and by nature and by choice, and that was the curse of sin and unbelief and rebellion upon us. And the only thing we had to look forward to is to die with that God and go to hell. But aren't you glad our sovereign, righteous, precious, holy God has got a way that sinners like you and I can live to see another day? And that is, we must be redeemed. I'm glad tonight I can tell you, I have been redeemed, but not just redeemed, but redeemed by a lamb. We're not redeemed by church membership. We're not redeemed by water baptism. We're not redeemed through the vain conversations received from the tradition of our Father, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot and without blemish. That word redeem is an interesting word. It means to pay the price. It means to claim as one's own. And it means to be set free to honor the one that paid the price. Praise God, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. But Christ paid a debt he did not owe. And he paid it in full. And he claimed me as his own. And then he set me free. The songwriter said, redeemed, how I love to proclaim. proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Ladies and gentlemen, the only hope I got tonight that I'll not die in my sin and go to hell without God, because 2,000 years ago He stomped up Calvary's brow and shed His blood on that cross. And tonight I'm redeemed, not just redeemed, but redeemed by a Lamb. Oh, the Bible said when Jesus was on this earth that the foxes had holes and the birds had nests, and the Son of Man had no place to lay His head. Everything that Jesus had on this earth was borrowed. Why, He borrowed a womb to be born from. He borrowed a boat to preach from. In this text, He borrowed a donkey to ride. He borrowed a bed to sleep in and a table to eat at. He even borrowed a cross to die on. He even borrowed a tomb to lay in. Somebody said, why did He borrow the tomb? While He wasn't going to need it but 3 days. And He even borrowed the tomb. When He was on this earth, He never bought a piece of land. He was on this earth, He never bought a house. When He was on this earth, He never bought a yoke of oxen. No, when Jesus was on this earth, the only thing He ever bought was your soul and mine. When He bought us off of the auction block of sin, my God, you remember that hour when Satan had you chained and you was on the auction block of sin, and the world said, we'll give Him pleasure, and the devil said, then I'll take Him to hell. But Jesus stepped upon the other side and said, I'll give Him joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace that passes all understanding, and a cup that's running over, and life everlasting. And He outbid the devil, and He paid the price, and He shed His blood, and we belong to Jesus tonight because we have been redeemed. Boy, I read this little story the other day and got blessed. Said this little boy made him a boat, and he was down at the creek playing with a little boat, and the boat got away from him and he lost it. Said he spent the rest of the day walking up the banks of the river, the little creek, trying to find the boat. And finally the next day he's walking down the street and he looked up into the window of a pawn shop, and there was the boat. Man, he walked in and said, hey, that's my boat. I'd like to have it back. And the proprietor of the pawn shop said, son, that may used to be your boat, but it's my boat now. And if you buy it, if you get it, you'll have to buy it for $2. Man, that little boy ran home and talked to his mother. Notice he talked to his mother. He did not talk to his daddy. His daddy wouldn't have bought the boat, but he went and pulled on mama. Guys, if you need something, go to mama. She'll give it to you when daddy's still crying about it. And so he went to his mother and said, I need $2 to buy that boat. And by the way, some of us here tonight are old enough to remember when $2 was like $2,000. I need the $2. Man, she gave him the $2. He ran back to the pawn shop. He put that $2 up there, and the proprietor said, sold to the young man for $2. Somebody standing by said they saw that little boy get that boat up and hug it. They said he kissed that little boat. And said he looked down at that boat and said, little boat, I made you, but you went astray. But I just bought you back. And little boat, you're twice mine. You're twice mine. I made you, but I just redeemed you. Lord, I'm glad tonight I was made in the image of the sovereign God of the glory world. But I fell and I went away. But praise God, He bought me back. And I'm twice His. I belong to Jesus. Jesus. He belongs to me. I'm glad tonight the curse has been lifted. I can know God. I can walk with God. I can fellowship with God. Most of all, I got all of this in heaven too. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven someday because I've been bought. I've been redeemed. And my hope is in the blood. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight. You remember the day that the blood was applied and you got redeemed, and tonight you're lifting up Jesus because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. That little donkey's got to be bought. He's got to be redeemed by a lamb. But notice in the text tonight, there's something else about this donkey. Jesus told those two disciples, now when you see this donkey, he's going to be tied. This donkey is going to be tied. And before I can ever use him, you've got to loose him and bring him to me. Under the words, that donkey has got to get out of his world and get over there in Jesus' world. He can't serve the Lord if he's bound down over here. He can't lift up Jesus if he's tied up over here. He can't lift up the Lord if he's involved in something else. So not only does he have to be bought, but he has to be brought. You say, now what has that got to do with us? Man, if you ever gonna lift up the Lord and serve God, you gotta get turned loose. You've gotta cut the strings. You gotta pull up the anchors that had you bound in your little world. You gotta get out of your will and get in his will. You've gotta get out of your way and get in God's way. You gotta get out of your world and get into God's world. I believe a lot of us tonight would have more God on us and more power on us, but we're too tangled up and tied up and bound down, not necessarily to evil things, but lesser things. And may I say this tonight, if it's not glorifying God, lifting up Jesus, serving God, it is a lesser thing, because the greatest thing anybody in this room can do tonight is get unhooked and let God cut the strings and erase the boundaries, erase the borders, and jump all in for God and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Anytime, any place, anywhere, I'm yours. Let's get loose tonight and get untied tonight and dive all in for the glory of God. We had a young fella come through our church one time. Come to think of it, we've had a lot of people come through. I told them the other day, I'm going to change the name from Harvest to Throughway Baptist Tabernacle. I'm even going to put a revolving door out front. He joined our church. He said, Brother Joe, I want to spend some time with you. I want to learn what makes you tick. I want to see what it is that keeps you going. And I said, son, if you spent every day with me the rest of your life, you're not going to know any more now than you knew then, because what you see is what you get. Well, I gave in and I let him go with me to a meeting. Man, everywhere I looked, man, he was there. He asked me 1,000 questions. But one day, I finally got away from him a few minutes, and he picked up my stuff. Man, he got to looking through my Bible. He got to looking through my sermon notes. Now, that didn't take him long at all. And then he got my date book. That was the day when we had the planners. We didn't have iCloud. And that's one cloud you better pray never crashes, because if it does, most of us will not know where we need to be. Man, he got to going through my date book. And all of a sudden heard him go, ooh, yuck. Now look up here. I don't mind if you look at my stuff, but don't say yuck. I don't care if you look at it, but don't say yuck. And I said, boy, what you yucking? What's wrong with you? He said, ooh, yuck. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, man, I wouldn't want every day of my life planned out like that. And I know I shouldn't have done this, but I'm like that man on TV. The devil made me do it. I said, son, I've heard you preach. You ain't got nothing to worry about. You won't be busy every day of your life. You say, you shouldn't have said that. He started it. and then I finished it. I said, son, let me tell you why I said that. I said, you're pretty, you know, regular, you know, kind of regular on Sunday morning, and you might come back Sunday night if you can wake yourself up from your nap. You never come on Wednesday night. You never come out and go visiting. You don't ever lift your fingers to do anything from the church. And I said, son, Brother Joe didn't write this. My Heavenly Father wrote this. It is required in a steward that he be found faithful. If you're tied up over here and too busy for the word and too busy for prayer and too busy for God, you're never going to get saddled up. But won't you tonight erase the line and tear down the fences and let the Holy Ghost cut you free and step out of your world into his world and saddled up, because whatever's got you bound tonight, it's not better than cutting loose and serving the master. Now, I know you're not supposed to talk to animals, but people do it anyway. My wife come to pick me up at the airport the other day, and this lady run by me, went over there to big old Mercedes and opened that door and said, oh, baby, oh, precious. Oh, honey, baby, I missed you so bad. And I'm standing there thinking, dear God, man, what have you done to that woman to make her talk to you that way? I want to find out. I found out in a minute, wasn't no man, some stupid chihuahua dog stuck his head out there, started licking that woman. Hey, she was more glad to see the dog than she was her old man. And when I saw him, I couldn't blame her. But if I was mad to her, I wouldn't even pick her up. Somebody say amen right there. Boy, I know you're not supposed to talk to animals, but I want to go talk to that donkey just a minute. I want to go over and talk to that donkey and say, hey, Mr. Donkey, I don't know what your plans are today, Mr. Donkey. And I don't know what you've got on your agenda. But I want to give you some good advice. There's a man over yonder named Jesus. Now let me tell you a little bit about him. You never seen nobody like him. You never heard nobody like him. You never met nobody like him. You never felt nobody like him. And if you'll know what's good for you, you will get cut loose. Because I'm telling you, Mr. Donkey, you're in for the ride of your life. Mr. Donkey, you're about to go where you've never been. You're about to see what you've never seen. You're about to hear what you have never heard. Mr. Donkey, you're about to feel a hand like you've never felt. Mr. Donkey, you're about to hear a voice that you've never heard. Mr. Donkey, you're about to sense a presence that you've never sensed. All you were born to do, boy, was be a servant and carry heavy loads. I know you wasn't born to be in a regal parade. I know you wasn't born to walk through the streets and everybody giving praise. But I'm just telling you, Mr. Donkey, if you'll get cut loose and get out of your world and get over there in his world, you're in for the ride of your life. You say, what has that got to do with me? If you'll untie yourself and untangle yourself from the cares of this life and erase the boundaries and tear down the borders, you're in for the ride of your life. You're about to see what you've never seen. You're about to go where you've never been. Whoop! You're about to feel what you've never felt. Because I'm telling you, serving God is the ultimate. Giving Jesus glory is the ultimate. Lifting up Jesus is the ultimate. I want to ask you something. Why do you want to mess around with lesser things when there's a deeper depth and a higher height? Why do you want to hang around a porch when you can crawl in the living room and sit in the Father's lap and get under the spout where the glory runs out? Why do you want to eat the cucumbers in Egypt when you can wallow around in the Holy Ghost in the land of Canaan. God wants to take you where you've never been. God wants you to see what you've never seen. He wants you to feel what you've never felt. And you can't feel it. You can't see it. You can't have it till you get cut loose. Ooh. Now, Lord, I know you want me to serve you, but we got this ball game today, and as soon as that's over, I'll be there. Now, Lord, you know we got decoration day today. We got to go put flowers on Uncle Fred's grave, and next Sunday, we'll be back. Now, Lord, I know I need to be in church today, but I got me a new boat. And I got to pay for that thing. And I got to get me some overtime. So, Lord, soon as I get my boat paid for, well, I'll be over there. And while you're coughing up them stinking excuses, here's your kids looking and saying, hey, that must be more important to Daddy than Jesus. This must be more important to Daddy than Jesus. I'm tell you something, buddy, your family deserves better than that. Your wife deserves better than that. Hey, your children deserves better than that. I want to say whatever's got you bound and tied up and keeping you from the Spirit-filled life, set a bonfire to it tonight and let the Holy Ghost cut you free and jump all in for God and erase the borders and tear down the fences and say, I'm going with God. Because I'm telling every young person in this room tonight, if you will let go and let God, you're in for the ride of your life. I'm telling you, brother, nothing is better than serving the Lord. Woo! Can I run a rabbit if I hurry? I know I don't want that preacher's long because I know who's been preaching this week. But let me run a rabbit. Oh, I'm so tired of hearing mealy-mouthed Christians gripe and grumble about all they had to give up to serve God. Save that for another day. I'll be glad. Can I testify? You know, can I just testify? Let me tell you what old JoJo had to give up to serve the Lord. Wasted years. A blown life. Spiritual boredom. And a home in hell. But praise God tonight, I got a home in heaven and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God, I'm glad I got saddled up. I'm glad God got me loose and I got out of my world into His world. Come on tonight, saddle up, and I'll tell you, you're in for the ride of your life. Let go and let God, and you'll be amazed had what he can do. And so he's got to be bought. Then he's got to be brought. Number three, notice something else in the text. He said, now when you get to this donkey, whoo, this is what's so unusual about him. No man has sat on him yet. No man has rode him yet. No man has conquered him yet. He's wild. He's never been broken. He's still in his natural world. What is a donkey's natural world? Bite, fuss, kick, stomp. Sounds like he goes to a Baptist church. Rear up and resist. I don't know a whole lot about mules and horses and donkeys, but I know this much. You go up to one that's never been rode before and try your high old silver. By God, you wish Canto was there. Because I want to tell you that donkey's natural tendency, oh, bad breath, purple-lipped, long-eared. Quit looking around and see if you see his brother in here tonight. Bear up at you and bite you. That's his natural tendency. So you know what Jesus has got to do? He's got to get that donkey to do that which is not natural. He's got to get that donkey to do what is not natural. Let me ask you this tonight, or just let me say this tonight. Reading the Bible is not natural. There's nothing natural about praying. There's nothing natural about going to church 3 times a week and then jubilee on top of it. While you got some family members right now thinks you're in a cult. Well, I like names, go to church, but all you do is drink, so what? It is not natural for you to give your tithes and offerings. I felt some resistance in this section about that tithe, and I'm going to hit it again. It is not natural for you to give your tithes and offerings. It's not natural to witness to somebody about Jesus. That is not natural to us. Oh, but when you feel a hand like Jesus and feel a breath like Jesus and get saddled up to somebody like Jesus, he'll get you doing what you said you never do. He'll get you doing what you said you never would want to do. He'll get you going against the natural and it becomes supernatural. He'll get you out of your rebellion and out of your pride and out of your resistance and get you doing for him and living for him and loving him. The donkey has got to be broken. If he's going to serve the master, he's got to be broken. Now let me take a little vote. Am I among friends? All four of you, God bless you. Let me say that again. Am I among friends? Can I really preach right here, right now, what's really on my heart? Okay. Now if you call me names, shame on you. Watch this now. Jesus said, no man has said on him yet. And you know what Jesus is saying? I want to do for him what nobody has ever done. I want to do something in him, through him, and with him that nobody has ever done. And I want to add, not only ever, but can do. I want to do something in him and for him and with him that's never happened to him before. I believe I'm okay with this point. Boy, that night God saved you. He did something for you that nobody's ever done before. Son, your mama couldn't save you. Your daddy couldn't save you. Your preacher couldn't save you. You couldn't save you. But the hand of the Lord reached further down, my God, than you could reach up. And the night God saved you, he did for you what nobody could ever do. Are we still friends? That night or that day when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, he did something for you that nobody has ever done before or ever could for you before. Oh my Lord, Brother Shelton, did he just say, oh God, did he just say Holy Ghost? Yes, I just said Holy Ghost. You say, what gives you the authority to say that? My mama called him Holy Ghost, and Jesus called him Holy Ghost, and anything my mama and Jesus says, I believe I can repeat it. Brian, you don't mind if I tell this? I was there the first day that old Brother Brian down here preached, hooked up to Jesus. I was there the first day when God took the anointing oil and poured it on you for the first time. And I'm telling you, I watched you. You didn't know what to do. You was as shocked as me and Billy Kelly was. He had preached some sermons before. He had taught a few lessons before. Oh, but that morning at the Calvary Baptist Church, in Cocoa, Florida. Now, not the beach. We wouldn't have had it over that. We was over here at the regular Cocoa, not the Cocoa Beach. We was over at the Cocoa Coast. And over there at the Calvary Baptist Church at Cocoa, Florida, in that 10:30 service that morning, he's preaching on them arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Brother Brian, he walked by me when he come through that side door. Woo! And I got the holy goosebumps. And he passed by Billy Kelly. And old Billy got to shouting. Then he worked his way to the pulpit. And he got on that little preacher boy from Wayland, Michigan. And son, it's never been the same. You've never been the same. You're one of them kind of guys that could preach on the concordance and the power of God would fall. You could preach out of Webster's dictionary and 12 people get born again. You could read out of the maps and the glory come by. You could preach on tithing and them God robbers would shout. Because I want to tell you, Brother Brian's a good boy. He got saved. He loved the Lord. But I was there the day God got on him the first time and nothing's been the same. I want to tell you, God's got something tonight he wants to do for every preacher in this room. He wants to give you the abundant life and the Holy Ghost power and the anointing of God. He wants to lift you out of your world and get you beyond yourself and fill you with divine authority. Come on tonight. Let him take you where you've never been. Let him break you. Let him get on you. Let him do for you what nobody has ever done before. Well, I was preaching one night in Florida on the Spirit-filled life about 10 years ago. Boy, the next day the pastor, he took me to the airport and I could tell something was bothering him. And I waited till I got up ready to get out. And I said, hey buddy, what's wrong with you? He said, Dr. Arthur, I want you to know something. I don't believe one word of what you preached last night. I said, look how nervous that makes me. Young man, I believe it enough for me and you both. And if you don't want your blessing, send her down my way. I'll take a double dose of Holy Ghost. Octane, life-changing power. God wants to take an average man and make him above average. He wants to give you wisdom you never had and power you never had and authority you never had. He wants to take you beyond your college. He wants to take you beyond your fellowship. He wants to take you beyond your companions. He wants to do for you what nobody has ever done before. Why don't we tonight open up our heart and say, get on us, Jesus. And lift him up and lift him high and he gets the praise and he gets the glory. Let God break us tonight. And let him do something in us that nobody else could do. And so they buy the donkey, they bring the donkey, they break the donkey and they bring him over here to Jesus. And Jesus just looks at him a minute. Preacher's over there and said, got on him. And rode to town. You say, how can he do that? He's the donkey whisperer. And honey, he can whisper you. Let me have six fellas right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of you come here. I want three on this side. And then I want three on this side facing each other. Now I want y'all to imagine this now. There sits Jesus on that little donkey. And you know, there wasn't anybody saying, look at the cute little donkey. You know why nobody was saying, look at the cute little donkey? Because there was nothing cute about him. A donkey is like some of my kin people. They're so cute, they're ugly. There is nothing cute or beautiful about a purple-lipped, bad breath, long-eared donkey. But we ain't preaching on the donkey. We're preaching on the Jesus that sat on top of the donkey. And boy, there's Jesus sitting on top of that donkey. Now, according to the other gospel writers, they were rejoicing with a loud voice. Come over here, boys, this way. They were rejoicing with a loud voice. They were rejoicing with a loud voice saying, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Blessed is the King.
That cometh in the name of the Lord.
And they had their hands lifted. And they were waving their hands, saying with a loud voice, glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Woo! Now you're watching. Everybody get them a palm branch. Wave your palm branches. Now, some of them had got so excited, they took their coat off and threw it in the way. Come on. I'm telling you, a donkey or a mule or a horse don't like that kind of atmosphere. Why, if there's something in a horse or a donkey's path, it spooks him. He backs up. He's easily distracted, and they're waving palm branches at him. There's obstacles in his way, and they're waving with a loud voice. Glory. Hallelujah. And they're waving palm branches, and they're yelling and screaming, and there's stuff in his path. But here's the little old donkey. He don't get spooked over here. He don't back up over there. He just steps over it and walks on. And they're hollering on both sides.
Hallelujah.
And he just walks on. Ah, he just keeps on walking. Why don't he get afraid? He's got Jesus on him. Why don't he get intimidated? He's got Jesus on him. Why don't he back up and run? He's got Jesus on him. He's not distracted. He's not defeated. He's not discouraged. Throw it in his path. Criticize him. Let him down. Treat him like a dog. But he's got Jesus on him. And he steps over and he walks on. And they're waving palm branches at him, but he walks on. They're waving and a hollering. Glory. But he walks on. And nobody is saying, look at the cute little donkey. You know why? You can't even see the cute little donkey. Whoop. But sitting high. But sitting high on top of the donkey is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my God, no wonder they're saying, there he is, there he is, there's the King, there's the Lord. They can't even see the donkey because he's overshadowed by the King. Praise God, boys. Aren't you glad when this world yells at us and the world tries to stop us? I say, walk on, walk on, walk on. It's not about us, it's all about him. Woo! Glory. Wait a minute. I need to retract a statement. I got in a big old way of preaching. That's okay. It's better than a little old way of preaching. I need to retract a statement. Yeah. I said there was nothing beautiful about a donkey, remember? But I was wrong. There really is. If it is a true Asiatic Jerusalem donkey, or the one over there, one that's been raised over here, if it is a true Asiatic Jerusalem donkey, down its back is a lion, and across his shoulders is a lion that forms a perfect cross. The happiest day in that little donkey's life is when he picked up his cross and followed Jesus. Glory! And here you got the donkey with the cross on his back and Jesus on top of the cross on the donkey going to the cross, headed to the cross. Oh, may we leave this place tonight with a dose of God on us and Jesus on us and lift up his name and lift up his cross, because it's the same tonight as he was in this text. Somebody needs him. Somebody needs him. Somebody needs him. Aren't you glad one day some little donkey brought Jesus to your town, brought Jesus to your house, and you saw Jesus on somebody? Tell you this and I'm done. The week before Easter last year, I was preaching in Jackson, Michigan. Jackson, Michigan is a little town about 60 miles west of Detroit. Friday, we had lunch with some pastors in that area. One of the pastors said, I'll take Brother Joe back to the hotel. We got ready to pull in the parking lot of the hotel, and that was a little blue truck. Had the driveway blocked. And those of you that know the patient man that I am, I said, go around him, go around him, go around him. And as we went around him, Brother Mike, I saw 2 feet. I thought sticking out from under the truck. And I figured, well, it's a Ford and it's probably broke down. And but when we turned to the side, Brother Davey, he wasn't under the truck. He was laying beside of the truck. Big old boy, weighed about 250, about 6 foot tall, about 25 years old. Brother Steve, he's laying there jerking, convulsing, foaming at his mouth. Eyes rolled back in his head. And I walked over there and I said, hey man, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And he raised his head up. And I've done enough hospital visiting, I know what happened. He went, ugh! He blew that last breath in my face. Brother Rudy, that boy died right there at my fingertips. I've never seen anybody turn blue and then white and gray just like that. Found out later he OD'd. I never seen nobody die like that. It tore me up. This young man come running out of the hotel lobby. He said, hey, I've called 911, man. Hold on. 911's on the way. And I said, come here, son. Is that your friend? He said, yes, sir. I said, he's dead. He said, oh, no. I said, he's dead. About that time, the law pulled in, and that boy tried to run. The law said, come here, come here, come here. He said, what's going on now? That boy said, sir, you can search me. You can search my truck. I've been clean for years, but he's still on heroin. He said something to that policeman. I'm still trying to compute. He said, you know how it is in our city. There's some bad dope around here. I want to stop and say, I didn't know that was no good anywhere. In a few minutes, the ambulance come, and me and that preacher helped him pick up that boy. Dead. Put him in the back of that ambulance. I walked across the parking lot and I happened to be staying on the first floor, and I looked out my window and I could see the body fluid laying right there in the parking lot. Never seen nothing like that in my life. To this day, I hadn't got over it. I tried to sleep and I couldn't sleep. I tried to read my Bible, couldn't read my Bible. Tried to pray, couldn't pray. All I could see was that boy jerking and breathing that last breath. And then it hit me. Oh, it hit me. I went, oh God. That could have been my boy. Yep. And then it hit me. It was somebody's boy. Yep. And hey, Pharisee, watch what you say about people. It's somebody's daughter. It's somebody's son. And they may be a piece of trash to you, but they're somebody's baby. I said, oh God, it could have been my boy. And then it hit me. Oh God, it could have been me. And then it hit me. And the only reason it wasn't me was that night in Danville, Virginia. Whoop! When that preacher looked back at my daddy and said, hey boy, if a donkey can do it, you can too. Come down here and get saddled up. And daddy went and got saddled up. And he brought Jesus to my house. Some little boy needs you tonight. Some little girl needs you tonight. Some little apartment complex, some little trailer park needs you tonight. Some little bus route needs you tonight. Some little Sunday school class needs you tonight. Some drunkard's home across the street needs you tonight. This world needs you tonight. They need to see Jesus like they've never seen him before. They need him like they've never needed him before. And I say, by God, we know him and we got him. I say, saddle up and leave this place tonight and take Jesus to somebody that needs to see him tonight, because they need him. And can I say it one more time? And if a donkey can do it, you can too. Saddle up. You're in for the ride of your life. Let's take one quick little vote. I love voting. How many of you are glad one day somebody got saddled up? And they brought Jesus to you. You saw God on them. Well, you go be that to somebody else. You're in for the ride of your life. Let's stand. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We've been bought. We've been brought. We've been broken. Lord, get on us tonight. Lord, may we leave this place saddled up to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, our communities need us. The next generation needs us. Broken lives and broken homes, little boys and girls need us tonight. They need you tonight. So help us to saddle up and lift you high. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.